Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in to the Self Love Power Hour. I am your host, Devin Sanders, and this is episode 2 of the podcast, and we are going to be talking about toxic friendships today and how I overcame one and how I grew through the process. So I am going to go ahead and give you guys a little bit of a backstory about this friendship and give you guys some tips. So if you do find value in this, I really hope that you screenshot it, put it in your Instagram story, and tag me at The Sanders Life and hashtag it Self Love Power Hour. And if you could leave me a 5-star review, I would be forever grateful. So let's go ahead and get started. I actually started to recognize that I was in a toxic friendship a little too late, and I will admit that I was toxic too. So this was not a one-sided toxic friendship. I actually started to recognize in myself that I was becoming more and more like this person, and that is not who I wanted to be. So I actually had to check myself. So that was really hard to actually own up to that and take responsibility. So, you know, I will admit that there is a time in everyone else's life, I feel like, that they are forced to grow. And this was my time. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of backstory about this friendship, how I felt, and the anxiety that was associated with it. So in this friendship, I felt that it had become so toxic because I would get a text and all the text would say was, hey, and I would get so much anxiety. The anxiety, the sweating, the heart racing would consume me, and I immediately responded because I didn't want to seem like I was taking too long. I wanted to see what they wanted, mainly to see if I was in trouble. Like, how do you get in trouble in a friendship? I don't get it. So I don't know why I felt like that, but that's what I was feeling. And I would completely freak out. I was always scared of, you know, what was going to come next. And no matter what I was doing, what I was wearing, what kind of makeup I wore, I was never good enough. And I was subjected to passive aggressive comments, insults. None of my success was celebrated. It was actually rejected as if I wasn't good enough to receive it. So, you know, I would get, that's too much for you, or is that really what you wanted? I mean, just things that you would never say to people you loved, especially if they were celebrating success. I would never hit them with the, did you really, you know, I mean, is that really for you? Did you really earn that? Like, and I think this particular instance where my success was never celebrated, I think it reaches like back into me having some form of imposter syndrome. And if you've never heard of that, I highly recommend doing some research on it. And it was something I came across when I couldn't really convey my feelings in this certain way. So whenever I found it, it felt like, wow, this is, I'm not crazy. This is what is happening to me. So I think just that instance where my success was never celebrated ties back into why I kind of have some imposter syndrome going on today. And it's something that I'm currently working through, and hopefully I'll be able to do a podcast on that in the future. So like I said, my success was never celebrated. Basically, all my flaws were criticized and only focused on the negative in my life. So this person made me feel like I was the problem. And when I began asking this person if I offended them or if I could have a conversation about what was going on or what I was feeling, I was basically, this person was gaslighting me. They made me feel like this was all in my head, that I was crazy, nothing was wrong, and basically just gaslighted me into thinking that this was all in my head. And I started to believe that because I'm like, okay, well, I've asked her more than once, you know, if you want to have a conversation and you're telling me twice that I'm crazy. So it just kind of makes me think like, okay, maybe I was in my head. To be honest, I felt like I was isolated, stressed. My confidence and self-esteem took such a huge hit. I felt completely off balance. I began to question my value, my self-worth. I eventually had to distance myself from this person, and it worked really well, but I still had to communicate and sometimes see this person because of mutual friendships and obligations. So it was just tough. But eventually our communication stopped and I felt very, very relieved. And with that relief I felt, I also felt guilt because this was one of my best friends, I thought. Like, I'm losing a really good friend and yet I feel relieved that they're out of my life. And whenever you lose a good friend, you shouldn't be relieved about that, in my opinion. So I just felt a lot of guilt from having that emotion. But during this time, I am not kidding, guys, I had to be very intentional about making new friends, and I had to seek out positive experiences. And I finally decided to let go and find joy through the grief process. And it feels very strange to me to say grief because I also felt relief, and those two typically do not coexist. So I was grieving the friendship because I did have really good times with this person, but the bad completely outweighed the good in my situation. And, you know, I struggled a lot with the process because I was just feeling really guilty. So with all that being said, I, you know, was gaslighted, torn down, manipulated, and I just wasn't treated with the respect that I deserved. So I am going to share with you guys a couple of tips that helped me heal and helped me demand more for myself and, you know, really kind of push myself along on this self-love journey because it's something that I truly needed in my life, and this kind of sparked that for me. So that's also why I kind of wanted to talk about it. So tip number one, I recommend you recognize what happened. I actually had to go back and reverse engineer things that I had to separate feelings from facts. So I basically had to say, no, this was actually in your head. This did never happen. I had to recognize the facts and separate my emotion from that. Something else that I had to do was cut off communication. So whenever I actually received an accusatory text, I chose to approach this situation like an adult, and I offered to have a normal conversation about what was in the text. I was basically shut down, and I was never offered, you know, to have another conversation about this. And basically, you don't need to be friends with people who tear you down. You know, you don't have to be friends with toxic people. I mean, this is not like oxygen or water. You know, this is something you don't need. So I actually had to recognize what was serving me and what wasn't. So of course, it was so, so hard, but it was very necessary whenever I was trying to move forward with my life and with my healing. So I also had to find and connect with my support group. And I just mean really good friends and family. You know, I had to intentionally surround myself with people who actually care about my well-being, who, you know, bring joy to you, that invite you to supportive things, you know, create new positive experiences and memories. I, you know, had to also kind of talk it out. And I just also realized that I wasn't alone. I wasn't the only one who had experienced a toxic friendship. So even though my situation was, you know, different from theirs, I knew that I wasn't alone, and they also struggled with some of the same feelings that I was feeling. So I really had to connect with, you know, my friends and my family that truly wanted what was best for me and truly believed in my healthy well-being. My fourth tip for you guys is going to be make your mental health a top priority. Be selfish about it. And I am not kidding when I say this. There is nothing wrong with taking a mental health day, because self-care needs to be practiced in every single human being. I don't think we are taught to love ourselves enough. So if you get value from this, I hope you share it. I highly recommend you make your mental health the top priority, because it's just so important and it affects a lot of different things. So I personally practice self-care, and I am always thinking about my mental health and what serves me and what doesn't. So, you know, a few ways that I incorporate my mental health into my routine is I exercise, I journal, I brain dump, you know, I eat nourishing foods, I have healthy coping mechanisms now, and I journal a lot. I write down my thoughts and I reflect a lot, just so I can get it out on paper and I can look back at it. Because whenever I look back at something, I can say, okay, I was literally fueled by anger during this time and I've calmed down and now I'm looking at the situation with a clear head. So things like that just make it easier for me to prioritize, because I do it so often. I brain dump and journal all the time, and it really has helped my mindset and it has helped the healing process. So I highly recommend just making your mental health a top priority. It's so important. Step number five, I actually had to get out of this mentality. You need to change your perspective from survivor and not a victim. So your feelings are valid and you should feel those emotions and recognize what is serving you and which ones aren't. But once you identify those, write out your thoughts, have a convo with your, you know, support group, even yourself. Your voice truly does matter. So just keep in mind, staying stuck in a victim mindset is possibly going to be preventing you from having a healthy relationship in the future. And it can also prevent trusting yourself. I am trying to get more in tune with my intuition, and it's really served me well to change my perspective from being a victim to actually surviving and being in a lot better place than what I was in the past. So step number six for me is to focus on what interests you. So I had to figure out who I wanted to surround myself with. What did I like to do before this friendship? What do I like to do on the weekends with my time? What do I like to do with my husband? You know, everyone has a hobby, and I think you should figure out what your hobby is. But this also ties back into finding joy. Like, do something every single day for yourself. I personally love to paint. It's so therapeutic for me. And that is something that I have actually focused on. And now in my bedroom, we have an art wall. And I have 5 canvases on there that I have actually painted myself. And they're just beautiful to look at. They're beautiful in my mind, so I may be biased, but they bring me joy, and I remember each one serves a memory and an emotion, and I can look back and be like, wow, like I created this, and it's just really nice to look back on something that you've actually completed and you're proud of. So tip number 7, take time for yourself. You really deserve it. You know, I know that family and friends are so important, especially during a tough time. But take time to be alone and rediscover yourself. Love yourself. It is totally okay to create your own safe space for healing. So I'll give you an example. At our house, we had a roommate. He moved out with his girlfriend. And my other roommate and I have actually changed his bedroom into an office. And in this office, we meditate, we work, we create, and it's just really a great atmosphere. It's something that I love. I love being in here. It's actually where I'm recording my podcast. So take time for yourself and really create a safe space where you feel open about expressing yourself in the space. I also write and talk to myself a lot. I don't know if you do that, but I definitely do. And it has helped with the healing for sure. Tip number 8 is self-love mantras and affirmations. I know it sounds crazy whenever you're looking in the mirror talking about how, you know, big of a bad bitch you are, but they work. I actually have them saved on my screen saver on my phone. So anytime I'm out and feeling some type of way and feeling stressed, I always go back and look at them. I say them, I repeat them, and I use a lot of I am statements like I am worthy, I am enough, I am loved, things like that. And it's completely changed my life, and I've only been doing it for literally less than 90 days, and a lot has changed for me. So I really encourage you to do that. If you don't do anything else, please love yourself. I know it's hard, but I have never felt better in my own skin than I do now. So it got to count for something, right? So tip number 9 is focus on what you need to say goodbye to and heal. So I think of this particular tip as like an onion. By using this perspective of the onion, you're going to examine each layer. So what is serving you and what is not? So I know I've said that a couple of times, but I actually like will brain dump in my journal, and then I'll go back and reread it and be like, okay, this is what I'm feeling. I basically reverse engineer my feelings, because sometimes I go 0 to 100, and I have kind of stopped myself in my tracks from doing that. And I also talk to my husband about it a lot. So we've had a lot of in-depth conversations recently, and it's just been really, really nice to actually express how I'm feeling and being really authentic. And that is something that I've never had. I've never been able to be the most authentic version of myself except for now. And I love it. So I have said goodbye to a lot of limiting beliefs and a lot of uncomfortable feelings that don't serve me. Like I mentioned, I kind of suffer from imposter syndrome, and I have actually been doing a lot of research on that topic. And if you didn't know this, quick fact, at least 70% of us experience it regularly. So if you have experienced it, I just want to let you know you are not alone. So tip number 10, and keep in mind, these are things that I've actually done. So I'm only giving you guys tips that I've actually done that have served me. So tip number 10, ask yourself the hard questions. This is something I had to do. Like, I had to recognize I also was toxic. I also contributed to the toxic relationship. And don't be afraid to get down to the nitty gritty and ask the hard questions. It feels like you're healing, but just remember your journey isn't linear. And there's a lot of days where you'll be feeling up and down. That's what I've experienced. But ask yourself, what can you learn from this experience? Because I'm a firm believer in that life is happening for you, not to you. And I just recommend journaling about it. Journal about your experience. Journal about your feelings. I remember back in the day. It's been a really tough year. 2020 has been crazy. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And I started journaling probably in May, I believe, of this year. And I journaled every single day up until, I mean, I still journal every day. So not up until any time, I still do it. But I've been journaling very consistently. And I will write out my emotions for the day. Like, today was a tough day. I struggled with this. And basically from May to October, it was way, way more bad days than there were good days. And that is something that I really struggled with because I was really happy at my job. I enjoyed my position. But whenever I was wrongfully terminated, it really hurt me. And it was just something that was really hard for me to accept. So I look back on those journals and I think of all the entries about how many bad days I was having consistently, that I am in such a better place now that the reflection just humbles me because I really did the work. I had to ask myself these hard questions in how I contributed to a toxic relationship, and I had to take responsibility for that. So I basically had to grow through what I went through, and it served me really, really well. So just don't be afraid to ask those hard questions to yourself. You don't have to ask your partner or anybody else. You really need to come inward and reflect and really ask yourself the hard questions, and don't be afraid to answer them because that is when your healing starts. Tip number 11, focus on the present and where you're going. So focus on your goals. I'm such a goal-oriented person. I write out monthly goals about what I want to do, how I want to serve, how I want to show up for myself and my family. I am very goal-oriented, so I write them out. I send them to my husband, and I am pretty consistent. I mean, don't get me wrong. There is times where I don't reach my goal, but for the most part, I'm doing really well. So you know, be present while working towards your goals. Remember, the past doesn't serve you. Like, don't live there because, I mean, it's in the past. There's nothing, nothing that you can do to change it. There's nothing that you can do to, like, change anything in the past. I mean, it's there. You need to grow from that, heal from it, and move forward because your past doesn't define you. So just keep that in mind. That's something that I had to come to terms with. And like, I'm doing really well now. And don't get me wrong, I still struggle. But I'm recognizing the negative thought pattern that takes me to the past. And I have actually had to interrupt that with gratitude and focus on moving forward. So focus on the present and where you're going. And let me look. Also, tip number 12 is forgive yourself. I had to forgive myself for being toxic. I thought this was a normal. I thought this is how normal people acted. And it, like, I don't even know. I had to forgive myself because I did not love myself. I did not like myself. I wouldn't want to be around me at that time. And I mean, I even ask my husband, and I mean, he told me the truth about myself. And one, I'm really grateful for that, but I never ever want to make him feel like he comes second to a job, a person, or anything like that. So I'm really glad that he shared his feelings and thoughts with me during this process, because I actually had to come to terms with myself and forgive myself for, you know, hurting someone I love so deeply and, you know, not even intending to do so. So, love yourself, forgive yourself. It will be hard, but I promise you it is worth it. It is worth every single second. Everything that you've went through has led you to this point. And I just want to say that you have survived all of your bad days so far. So, something else that I do want to elaborate on is Something else that kind of stuck with me, this quote has stuck with me for a while ever since I heard it. So there's two. I couldn't heal because I kept pretending I wasn't hurt. So that has always kind of stayed with me because I used to suppress my feelings really, really well. In my opinion, I mean, of course I'm emotional, but if somebody disrespected me or if someone, you know, really hurt my feelings, I kind of pushed that down and never really spoke about it because I didn't want to come across as hurt or weak. So that hindered my healing and it was tough. So I had to actually feel the feelings, recognize that I was hurt, and go ahead and basically grieve and get my shit together. So I always look back at that quote and it really sticks with me. I read it, excuse me, pretty often. The next quote that I'm going to leave you with is, not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. And this is so applicable to my current circumstances. It's insane. So whenever I saw it, I actually had to go ahead and write it down. So I'll say it again, not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. And that is just so true. And I just want you to know that you can survive the storm and find your people. They have probably went through something similar and can help you heal. So find your friends, your support group. I think it's important to lean on others, especially whenever you're hurting. You don't have to do it alone. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Self-Love Power Hour. I'm really grateful to be able to share a little bit about my experience and a little bit of these tips for you. And I hope that you find value in this and I hope you start to implement. So if you could, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review and please take a screenshot wherever you listen to your podcast at and take a screenshot, put it in your Instagram story and tag me at The Sanders Life with the hashtag Self-Love Power Hour. I am really excited to know who's listening and if you could provide any feedback, I would appreciate it. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your night and thank you so much for tuning in.